Tonight is a special night because we're concluding a series that we began probably about 7 weeks ago called Hunger. We took a little break from it last week, and tonight is the last evening of that. And we've got a special guest all the way from Alabama with us tonight. She's our worship pastor, Pastor Camelia Grace. We're so thankful for her ministry here. And she's going to talk to us about hungering for God in worship. So will you give me a great big Bethany welcome for Pastor Camelia Grace.
Well, it is so good to be back up in the north. I had a little bit of an extended vacation, more than I was anticipating, but it is so good to finally be back here. And tonight is a special treat that I get to be here in this service. Usually, I am back there in the choir room on Wednesday nights. We are doing vocal rehearsal for Sunday mornings, and so it is truly a treat to be here. Thank you, Pastor Stephen, for the privilege to speak here tonight. And as he just said, I'm going to be sharing with you about hungering for the Lord, hungering for the Lord through worship. And now when we think of worship, in all honesty, it's just loving Jesus. Worship is expressing our love for Jesus, and we can do that through the ways that we do on Sunday morning, through worshiping, through song, but we also get to do that through obedience and through just simply following Jesus. So now tonight, I have a question for you. Have you ever been in a mall or a park, and you've seen that very annoying couple that is so infatuated with one another that they're practically joined at the hip? Or maybe you have that friend who, when they first got into a relationship, they couldn't stop talking about their significant other. Or maybe you have been that couple in your friend group. You went everywhere, you did everything together. Maybe you were that friend that couldn't stop talking about your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your spouse. Do you remember what that was like when you wanted to spend all of your time together? Or maybe you haven't dated before, but you have a best friend or a best friend group that you love to spend time with. Maybe every free minute you got, you wanted to spend time with them. It didn't matter if you had work the next day at 8 a.m. You were going to stay and talk till 2 a.m., whether it was about the funniest thing on the planet or whether you were having deep, serious conversations, because spending time with that person was so important. Now, think back to the time when you first decided to follow Jesus and you first started relationship with him. Maybe you were passionately sharing Jesus with your friends, your families, your coworkers. Maybe God brought freedom into your life from an addiction, and you just had to tell everyone your testimony. I remember as a kid when I first accepted Jesus, my mom, she introduced me to Jesus, and she told me that I had been born again into the family of God. I had a new spiritual birthday. So, of course, this meant that I needed to eat ice cream. I remember I wanted to celebrate my spiritual birthday by having some ice cream. And I remember as well that when I first decided to follow Jesus, I would pray about everything. If somebody lost their keys, I would be praying. If maybe we were in the car and we were running late for church, I would be praying, Lord, please let us not hit red lights. Please let us be able to get there on time. I would go to sporting events and I would, you know, be praying, Lord, let our team win. For your glory, let our team win. My family knew that if something was happening, I was praying, and I would always suggest to pray. I remember as a kid, my games included having church. I would be the worship pastor, surprise, surprise, and my cousin would be the preacher. You can show that picture. I would hook up the karaoke machine, and I would sing songs. I would exhort the congregation, the imaginary congregation, because following Jesus was so exciting. Now, lately, I have been seeing a lot of posts on social media from new Christians. For some reason, all of a sudden, I'm following a bunch of new Christians on social media, and they are so passionate for Jesus. I keep seeing them. They're posting different prayers. They're sharing their testimonies, sharing the gospel, sharing what they're learning as they're reading the Bible. They love to spend time with Jesus, and it is so contagious. Even through a screen, it's contagious, and it's convicting. And it has really made me stop to ponder how my passion and my love for Jesus is doing. And the book of Revelation talks about this very topic. It talks about first love. Would you read with me Revelation 2? It says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Now, when we read what Jesus had to say to the church at Ephesus, we read that this church, in all things considered, was a pretty good church. They endured for the sake of the gospel. They were careful to be true to the teaching, to the word of God. And they endured for the name of Jesus. But they had abandoned the love they had at first. Now listen, I am the very first to admit that it is easy to get stuck in a rut in our relationship with God. For a long period of, when we have been with Jesus for a long period of time, we can get comfortable in our relationship and our approach to him. And I think usually this happens in two different forms. First, we can grow stagnant and slip back into old habits and patterns. Maybe that's starting to watch TV shows that before we would never have turned on, or listening to music that before was revolting, but now, you know, it's okay. Or maybe we've allowed certain language back into our vocabulary. We can also turn our relationship sometimes into a logical, intellectual relationship only. We know the right things, we say the right things, we do the right things, but we have shut off our emotions to the Lord. We go into autopilot instead of putting forth effort and intention into our relationship with him. But look what Jesus said is the greatest commandment. In Mark 12:30, he said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Now, the Lord did say, "Love me with your mind, love me with your strength." But he also wants our heart and our soul. And I think often we forget that the Lord our God is an emotional God. He is a jealous God. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus was angry and he went and he cleansed the temple. Our God has emotions. And if we think that we can skate on by with just an intellectual relationship, we have missed the point of relationship with him. Peter Schizero says, in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, To minimize or deny what we feel is a distortion of what it means to be image bearers of God. So now you might be thinking, wait a minute, aren't we supposed to be disciplined and follow Jesus even when we don't feel it? And the answer is a resounding yes. So then how do we rekindle our love for Jesus? Let's look at what Jesus says to the church in Ephesus. He says to remember from where you have fallen. He's telling them to remember what it was like when he was their first love. He says to repent that they abandoned their first love and to do the works they did at first. That's pretty serious language. Notice what Jesus isn't telling them. He isn't telling them, it's okay that you don't love me like you did at first. You know, as long as you have good theology, as long as you keep this list of commands, you're excused from loving me. You're doing good deeds. You're at church multiple times a week. You're involved in multiple ministries at church. You're busy doing my work. We've, you know, been in relationship for a long time now, so it's okay that you don't really like spending time with me anymore. You're excused from that. Imagine being married to someone with whom you only had an intellectual attachment to. Or imagine being in a relationship where the only reason you were there was because of duty. Imagine if you and your best friend never actually spent intentional time with one another. Maybe you make plans to hang out and then you just end up sitting on the couch scrolling through your phones. And I admit I have been guilty of this, but if this is a continual pattern, the relationship won't really be able to last because you aren't putting forth effort anymore to develop or maintain that emotional connection with them. And I say that word intentionally, develop an emotional connection with them. Because yes, emotions are fleeting and ever-changing. That is why we make the choice to love God. But if I am consistently scrolling through my phone when I should be hanging out with my friend, there's no way that we will be bonded together and our relationship will last. In the same way, it can be very easy to do that in our relationship with the Lord. Maybe you sit down to do your quiet time and then you think, oh wait, I need to go do laundry. I can, you know, still be praying while I'm doing laundry, and then I'll get back to reading my Bible, and you go and you start, and then you forget that you're supposed to be praying, and then you never go back to read your Bible. You aren't putting forth that effort to maintain relationship. And I think sometimes we're guilty of thinking that my emotions are ever changing, so I don't need to bring them to the Lord. I don't need to delight in the Lord. I can just have good theology and do the right things and skate on by. And now I'm the first to admit that it can be hard. It's hard to keep intentionally pursuing Jesus day in and day out. But Jesus told the Ephesians to remember. So that is what we must do. We must look back and remember the joy of our salvation and remember what God has done for us. And this is why worshiping together corporately is so important. It is so important because when we worship, we fix our eyes on Jesus and he renews our mind and we are transformed. But this practice is not exclusive to a service in this building. It's not even exclusive to that hour that you set aside in your devotional life. No, instead, we need to make it an intentional practice to remember the goodness of the Lord, to remember what he has done for us. So what are some steps that we can do to do that? Maybe for you, it's to start writing down a list of things you're thankful for every day. Something about your story of coming to Jesus that you're thankful for. Maybe it's choosing to listen to worship music on your ride to work to just kind of refocus your thoughts. Or maybe it's running to scripture when something is difficult, running to Jesus instead of, you know, shooting that quick text to your friend to vent about a situation. And I'm not saying that there's never an appropriate time to share with a trusted friend what you're going through, but I am saying that we need to choose friends who will point us to Jesus in bleak circumstances. The second thing that Jesus tells the Ephesians to do is to repent. Repent of losing their first love. Repent of prioritizing their deeds over pursuing relationship with Jesus. And in the same way, we need to repent of how we have lost our love for Jesus in different areas. We need to change the habits and the actions that have led us to lose that love for Jesus. Because, y'all, it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to be pulled away from our relationship with Jesus. And we also need to ask God to rekindle our love for him. John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up the last day." Hungering for the Lord and loving him, it's not something that we can accomplish within ourselves. We can't just wake up one day and decide, you know what, I'm going to be hungry now. We have to consistently turn to Jesus, turn from the habits and attitudes in our lives that distract us. We have to consistently ask God to stir up hunger in our lives. And the third thing that we need to do, first we said we need to remember our first love. The second thing we need to do is to repent of losing that. And the third thing that we need to do is to do the works that we did at first. That's what Jesus tells the Ephesian church, to do the works they did at first. And I think often in our walk with Jesus, when we're first new believers, we're like in this constant state of growth. We're constantly being transformed, constantly quitting the actions maybe that hinder our work or our walk with the Lord. And maybe that's easy, but sometimes I think as we go forward, we kind of forgot what it was like to be a baby in Jesus that falls down and gets back up and falls down and gets back up. And we can become stagnant and we start transforming at a slower rate. I think that sometimes it can be easy to get uncomfortable with the conviction of the Holy Spirit as we've been with Jesus for a longer period of time. But I think sometimes we think, I'm not necessarily a bad person, and so I don't really need to change. But I challenge you to ask Jesus to transform you and to be ready to go through that process. We don't like the uncomfortable feeling sometimes of knowing about a sin in our life and doing war on that sin. But church family, it's time to go to battle and get uncomfortable again. Let's start seeking the voice of the Holy Spirit and asking him to transform our lives. So friends, let's rekindle our love for Jesus by remembering from where we have fallen. Let's look back at our salvation stories and remember what it's like to actively pursue Jesus. And let's make time to worship the Lord. Secondly, let's repent. Repent of the habits that have crept into our lives that are distracting us and pulling us away from Jesus. And finally, let's do what we did at first. Let's get comfortable being uncomfortable in the transformation process. Church, no matter if you decided to follow Jesus today or 40 years ago, let's recommit to doing what we did at first, to being moldable clay in the hands of Jesus. So tonight, we're going to have a time of response. And if you would like to respond to the call to rekindle your love for Jesus, would you come to the front around these altars as a sign of repentance as we pray? So would you begin to do that? Would you begin to come forward? And we are going to pray and we are going to ask the Lord, remind me of the passion that I had at first. Repent. Say, Lord, I am sorry for the sins and the habits that I've let creep back in. And would you say, Lord, transform me. Transform me like you did at first. Would you help me to get uncomfortable? Would you help me to get comfortable being uncomfortable? Comfortable to listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So come forward and join me and call out to God. And I will come back up in a few minutes and pray and help us close in prayer. Let's seek the Lord together.